The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, I wasn't listening to the music, Howard, so our neighbors are having their own time. Trust me, the last thing they're worried about is the music that you're going to be playing to them at this stage of the game after the busy weekend that we've had.
Even if it's the Carpenters.
Even if it's the Carpenters.
All right. Well, Anthony, it was actually almost impossible to keep up over the weekend with what was going on, what was going on in Israel. It starts off on Friday with a terror attack. It was just quite an incredibly difficult weekend, wasn't it?
It's been a very difficult weekend with so many different things going on, as you rightly point out. And, you know, so I'm going to try and make sense of it. It's taken me a little while over last night and this morning with events going on as we speak to try and get my thoughts around how to best present to listeners the events of the last few days. But let's start with Friday, because this was a very, very serious attack that took place at the Engelwind Spring, which is near to the West Bank settlement of Dolev. And originally it was reported that an explosive device had been thrown from a car that then fled the scene. It turns out, as I've read now, that in fact there had been an explosive device that had been planted at that spring earlier in the day, and that it had been remotely detonated when the family that was involved in this attack, the Schnurb family, approached it. And all we had on Friday afternoon was a father with his two children hiking in the area of the spring, as you do on a Friday afternoon before Shabbat. And unfortunately, this was Rabbi Eitan Schnurb and his daughter Rina and his son Dvir. The three of them were out enjoying the summer weather and a nice time to be out on a Friday afternoon before Shabbat when this explosive device was detonated. All three of them were very seriously injured in the attack. It was random. This was just an explosive device that had been planted in a public area and that was remotely detonated to attack that family on a remote basis and on a random basis. And unfortunately, Irina died from her injuries on Friday afternoon later in the day. She was already buried on Friday afternoon. That's how quickly things moved before Shabbat. Rabbi Eitan and Dvir, 19-year-old Dvir, were seriously injured. They have now recovered enough to be reunited at the hospital where they're being treated in Jerusalem at the Hadassah and Kerem hospital where they're being treated. They both have suffered serious injuries to their entire bodies. And unfortunately, of course, 17-year-old, almost 17-year-old Rina, I think it was a week before her 17th birthday when she died, was buried on Friday afternoon. So that's just random, and that there seems to be absolutely no point to an attack like that. And of course, the IDF were very active in following up to find out who might have been responsible for this. I understand that some people have been arrested. It's not clear whether the IDF is sure that these are the people who actually perpetrated that attack. But they have certainly arrested some people who seem to somehow be involved in this issue. So we're going to watch that more carefully just to see what follow-ups are going to be taken against this very random attack. And then just, you know, to break the timeline a little bit, last night, southern Israel was again under rocket fire. Code red sirens were being sounded. Three rockets were fired from the area of Gaza towards Sderot in that area around the Gaza Strip. Two of the rockets, I understand, were intercepted by Iron Dome anti-missile systems. A third one landed near to quite a main artery road in that area. There were people who were injured. Magen David Adom did say that they had to treat some people in the Sderot area for injuries. It's not clear whether those injuries were sustained as a result of rockets or shrapnel, or whether people were just injured because they were rushing to bomb shelters. There was an open-air concert that was going on underneath this rocket fire last night, being the summertime and people are out and about, and there are many concerts that are going on at this time, a lot of entertainment. School children are on holidays, and a lot of parents are on holiday too. And so there was this concert going on. The concert was stopped in the middle due to the rocket fire. People were scrambling to safety to get to secure areas and bomb shelters, even though they were enjoying the concert. And so this is, you know, all again very, very unfortunate. Fortunately, the concert, they managed to stop the concert and get people to safety without people being badly injured in the process. But it does disrupt our everyday lives. And, you know, this is clearly something that's not okay. And one wonders what the purpose of the rocket fire was, where it came from, because over the weekend, once again, Qatari money was sent into the Gaza Strip in order to try to relieve the suffering of some of those poorer people. This was something that was done with the consent of the Israeli government. As a result of the rocket fire last night, the IDF were once again in action over Gaza to retaliate that. They did also decide to cut off some of the fuel supply that's being sent, that was due to have sent to Gaza today. So the fuel supply that's being sent has been halved in retaliation against that rocket fire. And it's not clear whether some of that rocket fire might be linked to the events that went on the northern border and beyond the northern border of Israel, which, you know, once again, quite a number of things were happening over the weekend on that northern border. And, you know, we're talking now about drone warfare almost, because this is just a new area that we're going into now, this whole area of using drones for various things. But there was a lot of activity on that front during the weekend as well.
Yeah, when I watched footage actually of that concert and people screaming and scrambling, I actually couldn't continue watching it, although thank God no one got hurt there. It was one of the most frightening things to watch, because you could hear the terror in the voices of people who had just gone out on a late summer evening to a concert. Absolutely appalling.
It was very frightening, and the point being, you know, that you could, and they were actually exposed to what was going on in the skies above them. This was an open air concert, and they could see the rockets coming in from Gaza. They could literally witness it, and they could see the Iron Dome anti-missile systems actually intercepting in the air above the concert. And of course, this is very, very frightening for people who are already terrorized, you know, who live in a state of terror because of the number of rockets that they've had to endure over the past few years. This is something that's a real fear for them. And so obviously one can imagine the terror that they felt by actually, you know, being exposed to it, by seeing it in the skies above their heads.
Absolutely. An audacious IDF attack was carried out in Syrian territory over the weekend in order to prevent an Iranian attack against Israel. Anthony, we seem to be becoming more comfortable with talking about these attacks. In the past, Israel seems to have rather not mentioned them.
Yes, so this is a new era that we find ourselves in, because once upon a time, you know, attacks like this were carried out. We saw so many attacks being carried out against the Iranian nuclear program. All of a sudden, without any announcement, a nuclear scientist in downtown Tehran was knocked over, in inverted commas, by a motorcyclist who killed him in the process, and then just escaped from the scene without any, without knowing who it was. And this seemed to be an ongoing kind of event that took place from time to time. Now, as soon as this attack took place in Syrian territory, the Israeli government were quite happy to say, yes, we were involved in this. And the attack was pretty audacious, because it took place deep in Syrian territory in a place called Akraba, which is not too far from Damascus. And we understand that this was all about Iranian drones that were being prepared for attack against Israel, that apparently Israel had been monitoring already the whole setup and the preparation for this attack. The IDF had been monitoring apparently for some months, and this was not just something that was done on the spur of the moment. This is an attack that had been prepared for some time, that was being monitored by the IDF, that was just about to be carried out over the weekend, when the IDF came in using apparently a drone of their own, actually attacked these drones that were quadcopters, I think they were talking about quadcopters that were going to be launched, armed ones with carrying explosive devices that were going to be sent over the border into Israel. And just before these quadcopters were going to be launched, the IDF sent their own drone forces in, and the whole area apparently was destroyed, including the equipment and including the location and including the explosive devices that were due to be launched against Israel. I saw somewhere that the location that was being used was some sort of a luxury villa, where with a huge swimming pool and nice grounds, where these Iranian terrorists that were under the direct control of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and apparently the order to carry out this attack came directly from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And in fact, the Chief of General Staff, Aviv Kochavi, has been speaking publicly about it and naming the individual who was responsible for issuing the command to carry out this attack. So the IDF were fully familiar with the whole chain of command, who was involved, all the equipment. This was something which is quite unbelievable. And, you know, just to read the story is like reading something out of a spy thriller, because it's really quite unbelievable and how they managed just in the spur of the moment, just before the attack was carried out, to carry out a counterattack and prevent this from being carried out. So quite, quite amazing. And I think there's still probably a lot more information that we are likely to hear about this attack in the future.
It is quite frightening, because we definitely seem to have entered a new era of warfare. These drones obviously are becoming more and more popular in all sorts of areas, but it now really is going to be something, I believe, that every nation, but particularly Israel, that is under attack all the time, is going to have to very quickly deal with.
Absolutely. And we've seen even more than that, because there were two events that took place yesterday in Lebanese territory, which are also related. First of all, overnight, apparently IDF drones were involved in carrying out an attack against individuals who represented something of a threat towards Israel, and who were also going to carry out attacks. And two Lebanese individuals were apparently killed in the process. These are two militants that had been they'd been trained in Iran for drone warfare. So, I mean, it's not only that we're using drones, but obviously we're having to be cautious about drones that are being used against us. So overnight there was this attack that was carried out in the Bekaa Valley. And of course we saw Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah very angrily make a speech yesterday about an event that took place in Beirut, which is really unclear, because on the one hand, we understand that there had been some event, some incident that took place in Beirut yesterday involving drones. Apparently a drone crashed into some sort of a Hezbollah communication center, and there was a second drone in the area which was reputed to be armed, had explosive devices on board the drone, which then self-destructed. It destroyed itself before the drone could be captured. And of course, immediately Hezbollah were accusing Israel of using these drones in Beirut. I mean, so we're not talking about just beyond the border, where you can sort of use a little remote control to guide these drones. These are drones that are going into the central area of Beirut, which is a very significant distance from the Israeli border. There were reports that I saw that said actually these drones were Iranian manufactured drones. So this has created some sort of a confusion as to precisely who might be responsible for carrying out that attack. But Nasrallah was very, very determined in his speech yesterday, accusing Israel and warning Israel and threatening Israel that, you know, Israeli soldiers should be looking, those Israeli soldiers standing on the border should be looking towards Lebanon, because there will be an attack. It might take a day, it might take 2 days, it might take 3 days, but there will be attack carried out against Israel in order to avenge this attempt at carrying out infiltration into Hezbollah in Beirut yesterday. Mm-hmm. So a lot of confusion as to exactly what happened and who's responsible, but we're really finding a lot of different intensive activities at the moment going on. And I'm suspecting that for everything that we're being told about and that we can see and that's being spoken about publicly, there's probably 100 other things that are going on behind the scenes that we're not being told about and that we don't know about and that we're probably unlikely to know about, nevertheless are very relevant to all of what's going on at the moment. So a definite escalation in things. Residents on the northern border have been told to carry out their lives as usual, no special preparations, but we do know that the IDF are very much on high alert at the moment, both in the north and in the south, against all of the potential repercussions from these events.
Frightening indeed. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll chat to you tomorrow, same time, same place, for the Israel Report. Here's your news headlines, followed by the news.